Higgins. Higgins, who takes it inside defensive 50. Looks out towards the dock side. Harry O'Brien there with the interception. He goes again, Harry. He picks it up. Yeah! He bends it back.
Tight spot, but as we've already said, the boundary's not too wide. He places it for the running Lumumba, who can go with and kick Collingwood's opening goal of the night. And he's celebrating in the pocket already.
There we go. A bit of Lumumba, a bit of O'Brien.
Did you come in early and put that first one on? You did.
I did not.
I got in here at 5 o'clock and
the highlights
you were
together.
Going through the highlights.
How dare you?
And you said, don't put Hutto on. And then Christos had to get one of Hutto. Hey, he was a very good player.
He
much
was.
Maligned, Heretia Lumumba. But, gee, I love watching him play, especially at the Maggies when he's running off half back.
Those knees.
The Pistons were pumping. I love watching him play.
Nick Maxwell is the Collingwood Premiership captain and was close with Heredia and joins us. Maxie, hello.
Morning, Matty and Chuck. How are you, boys?
Good, mate.
Good, mate. Now, when did you first meet Heredia Lumumba?
He walked in the doors of what was then the Lexus Centre after he rang up Derek Hine and said, can I come and train with Collingwood for a rookie list? And Decker said, we're not interested, mate. And he said, listen, I'll pay my own flight away from Perth yet. Won't cost you a cent, just let me come and have the experience of training. And slept on the floor at a friend's house in Melbourne. And he was supposed to be there for a couple of weeks. And within about 3 or 4 days, he thought, hang on, we've got something here. And he impressed us the way he went about it. And actually went round the last day that he was there, he actually went round to all the players and had one of those old Kodak wind-up cameras.
Yep.
And got a photo with basically everyone in the whole building just because he thought he'd never be back. And it made such an impression that we picked him on the rookie list.
And an impression he did make, Max. And as I said at the outset, it's not a day to talk about some of the controversies, and he's much maligned. You must have loved playing alongside him. I mean, you were playing off half back, and at times he just provided so much drive for the Maggies.
It was adventure every time he got the ball, Chuck.
Yeah, it was.
We never knew where he was going. I don't think he did either, but... I absolutely love playing with him, and I think at Collingwood, he had a lot of huge roles too. He had to play on the best small forward for the opposition, so a lot of the times it was a really difficult challenge for him, but he'd still provide that run for us. And not only on the field, but off the field, he's someone who is very different, but that's why we all loved him and loved spending time with him, because he certainly offered a different perspective on everything.
And he did come from a different background, Nick, and did you live with him for a while?
Yeah, he lived with me for the first 2 years he's at the club, so got to know he and his family very well, and my kids are still know him very well and still love him. And I suppose because I know the real story of H and what he's been through, and he would have been through more adversity in the last 10 years than what any of us are having our whole lives. So I do hope that that one day he does tell his full story and tells the warts and all stuff, because I think that it would probably offer perspective on a lot of things that maybe people don't understand, and there has been a bit of controversy, as you say, Chuck. So I think when you look at all that, there's probably things that have been focused on that people don't have a full understanding of, and that's no one's fault. It's just what's out there. So I think if he did actually come out and tell the full story one day, I think people would have a different appreciation for it.
No, that's a great call and a good insight, Maxie. Obviously, you're highly respected as a leader, mate, and you're doing work at GWS now. So, you know, you've taken that time, you got to know him, and I suppose it's a good lesson for all our listeners out there. I once heard a saying when I was coaching, Maxie, was no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yep, great one. And that's the thing, I mean, one thing that I try to always talk to our leaders about is if your relationships are strong enough with anyone you work with, then you can actually say anything to them and they're not going to be offended, because they know it's coming from the right place. And that's sort of the challenge you have, particularly in a heat environment where you've only got a certain amount of time to actually spend with each other, because you're training and then you go and do your weights and then you go and do something, some video or whatever you got to do. So you've got to make sure you are putting time aside to get to know each other and work with each other. And as soon as those relationships get to a strong enough point, then you can basically say and do whatever you want, and everyone knows that it's all to make each other better and to actually win.
Nick Maxwell is with us, Collingwood Premiership captain, talking about Heredia Lumumba. There is a perception out there, Nick, that Heredia was hard to manage. Did you find that?
No, I wouldn't say he was any harder than any other player. I think that particularly with Mick, I guess, because he would have spent the most time with Mick. But that's probably, the more you look at what we did through that sort of 2009 to 2011, through those years, was that We did have so many different personalities, and I think that that was Mick's great strength, was knowing all those personalities, and obviously with H and Swanee and Heater, and there were so many different characters amongst the group, and I guess that's what also made it fun, was that it wasn't just about going and getting flogged on the training track and facing up the next week every time. It was actually we enjoyed each other's company, and the locker room was a good place to be around.
Different strokes for different blokes, Matty. That's what it is, yeah, and that's the art of coaching and captaincy. You've got to treat people as individuals, not as a one collective, and that's what the good ones do. Is there any game, Maxi, or any one thing that stands out in your mind as we reflect on a wonderful career, 223 games, something that's, you know, for me, his legs pumping off half back and almost his cheeks puffing out, but is there something that stands out in your mind, a Harry O moment?
Yeah, there's probably one, and it was after he kicked his goal in the 2010 in the replay, when it was the 11-minute mark of the last quarter, and he was carrying on after his big goal, pretty excited, and come running back to half-back, and I gave him a fearful spray, just said, switch on, it's not over yet, and all this, and I was actually a bit embarrassed. I looked up the scoreboard, and I went, oh, hang on, actually, it is all over. They can't come back from here. So about a minute later, I ran past him, and I said, sorry, mate, you're right. We've got this one. We sort of had a bit of a wink and a smile at each other. So,
yeah, thanks, Maxi. I'm a passionate St Kilda supporter, so yeah, I know the one you're talking about, and that's a bit of sold into the wound. Look, just before we let you go, just got a little tune just for you to listen to.
Now, what's this about?
Bit of Talking Heads I just played in the background because my spies tell me that maybe Harry might have almost burnt your house down. Is that true?
You've been doing a bit of research. yeah, at the end of his first season, it was October, so it was our off season, and about 4 a.m. in the morning, I was upstairs with my girlfriend at the time, and the smoke alarm started going off, and I looked across, it was 4 a.m., and I've charged downstairs, and about 2 metres from the front door, there was a metre-high fire.
Oh, no.
Right in the middle of the hallway, and it was on polished floorboards. So I've gone in the laundry and grabbed a towel, wet it, and I'm gone sprinting towards this fire, and little did I know that there had already been some sort of liquid trying to pour it over the fire. So I've gone flat chat, slipped on my back, slid through the fire, almost knocked myself out the front door, turned around and put this fire out, and I've looked straight to my left into Harry's room, and we had the altitude tents at that time when we were sort of about probably 4 metres by 2 metres high, and the whole big plastic thing was on fire. And I've looked in, and H was just standing in the corner looking at it, not knowing what to do, and pulled it to the ground and put it out. And I just sort of steam coming out of my ears. I said, I'll talk to you in the morning. It was 4 a.m, so I've gone back to bed, and he came out at 2 o'clock the next afternoon pretty sheepishly. And I said, mate, what went on last night? What was going on? And he said, oh, look, I spilled some milk, some protein milk, a couple of weeks ago, and I couldn't get the smell out, so I poured some turps on there to try and get rid of the smell. And,
no.
And then I've got like a double adapter plugged into another one. So I've got my altitude tent, my PlayStation, my alarm clock, my phone charge, my TV, all these things. And it must have just sparked and gone up. And I said, seriously, that's what you're going to run with? And he looked at it and thought about it for a second. He goes, yep, that's what I'm going to run with. And it took him probably 12 months after a few beers the next Mad Monday to come up and say, you know that that's not what happened, don't you? And I said, yeah, I know that. It was the Turks part was the truth, believe it or not, but he actually had that much to drink. He was sort of just sitting there contemplating, and he just had the lighter in his hand and went click and actually lit it by accident.
Oh.
It just exploded in his face, and whole altitude tent went up and almost the whole house with it.
Dear, oh dear. Well,
all's well that ends well, I suppose. It could have been nasty.